y'all ready for the heat? As best we can, right? Williams kind of beat it yesterday a little bit, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he teaches us how to persevere, so we'll see what we can do. All right. Well, let's get ready to go into our next lesson. This one will be one that would be... We miss something?
So go ahead, Pastor. Thanks for amidst the heat. And just thankful that we can sweat. Thankful that we're not like dogs sitting here.
Yeah, sitting here panting, yeah. I think, what was it, Lindsay posted hers. Thank the Lord for air conditioning. And coffee. Yes.
She's always thankful.
Hey, who isn't? Yeah. They're finding more and more better things about coffee. The more you drink, the longer you live.
Let's hope they stop, because the price keeps going up with those fines.
Maybe we'll start growing our own.
Yeah.
The Willamette Valley's best.
The government will get involved.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Although it's there's a whole series about coffees. Like what qualifies as certain ones, like Kona coffee only is grown in a specific zone in Hawaii, and it can't be claimed by anything else because they've trademarked it, and that it's at a specific altitude. No higher, no lower, and it's in a specific area. And anybody else that says, well, we grow that here, we brought the trees over here. Nope, you can't call it Kona coffee. Okay, well, that's how you want it to be. Anyway, let's get back to the lesson. Okay, this lesson should be pretty interesting, because I hope it's a good thought-provoking lesson. And it's titled Dare to Be Different, so keeps me thinking of the song Dare to Be a Daniel. So anyway, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll read a few verses here, starting at verse 11. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for the recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And the key verse that, for this lesson is, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again. Thank you that for these lessons that the Apostle Paul in his letter presenting to the church at Corinth is very applicable today. And Father, the importance that we as Christians really true need to be different. And Father, that we should be as such that people will want to know why we are different and what keeps us different, and what do we trust in that maintains our difference. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit living within each believer keeps us different, that strives that in our walk through this earth, that even though we are different, yet we still need to be, as we learned in the last lesson, to be ambassadors, to be your representative on this earth. And that, Father, while we are different, that we should not be embarrassed, we should not be in fear, but, Father, we should be bold and willing to share the gospel, not such that we're prideful or boastful, but, Father, that we do have a boldness and that we know that the Holy Spirit is working with us to keep us on that path, that we would be, when we go into eternity, where we're called up with the church, that we will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Father, I thank you for each one that is here. I thank you for the open hearts that you have for us. And as already been said, we do thank you for each of the lessons that are going on with Brian and Stephanie, with the young ones, and with this class. Father, we ask that our hearts would be continue to be open throughout all of the lessons today, through the sermon this morning and the evening service when it comes about. I just thank you, Father, for each believer that is here. And Father, I do pray that if this lesson becomes challenging to us, that and it creates a problem for us, I pray that we will use these words wisely, that we will seek to understand what the Holy Spirit would have to do for us, that what would be God's will for us, and how we should interact with the world, still be able to walk upright and not be compromised by them. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as I said, this one will be an interesting challenge. We will be looking at the right relationship with God and the world. And even though this was written, you know, a millennial two or ago, it's very applicable today. You know, some of the things that go along is that we, as Christians, oftentimes people will look at us and, you know, going through these lessons, what it was that we've already seen so far in God's great waves of grace. We've seen that by God's grace we can respond to trials with peace and confidence. And looking at that, we realize that as we go through those trials, we're being prepared to help somebody else that might be going through a similar trial. Maybe not exactly the same, but you can understand it and be able to work with them. And then we live in the sight of God. And we use my liberty in Christ to do God's will, not to show somebody else, well, I can do this, and not worry about it. We learned even more about that in 1 Corinthians, that people were abusing that liberty. Well, I can do that. Why can't you? I'm more mature than you. I must be. You know, and some people were using it, well, almost like a weapon. And then we see that to share the light of my treasure, you know, and it's, you know, we could ask every week, okay, how many shared the gospel this week? Well, some of us have an opportunity, some of us don't. But we should take every opportunity and share that. And then we anticipate eternity by serving God. In other words, as it tells us in I think it's Matthew, you know, to lay up those treasures, not earthly treasures, but those where moth and rust don't corrupt, you know, where it's not corrupted. Then last week we left off with exhibit excellence as Christ's ambassador. As we're going through there, to see what type of representative are we. So the Apostle Paul is challenging the church at Corinth more and more each time we go through there. So we look at dare to be different. And, well, in fact, I won't show a hands, it's kind of rhetorical, but when you think about people around you, how many have come up and goes, why are you the way you are? Or maybe they, like I've given my testimony a couple times of, do people see a difference in you from when you were unsaved? You know, is there a difference? I mean, some of us, the change, we don't really realize it. Others that may have known us beforehand see us after we get saved and go, wow, something changed you. Some people, it's very gradual, and they don't, you know, they might, well, you know, okay, he's just getting older, you know, getting wiser, or whatever. And I'll see if I can find Winston Churchill's quote about that. Something about if you aren't a liberal by 25, you don't have a mind, or something like that. And if you aren't conservative by time you're 40, you don't have a heart. I'll find it and quote it, but it's very interesting when you think about that. And, you know, a lot of people, you think about how you were when you were young, just, and then how you are today. You know, the things you did when you were younger, you aren't doing today, not because you got older. Well, some of us are like, oh, I better not do that again. You know, I don't play baseball. I don't play volleyball anymore. I play games where my feet are usually on the ground. You know, I find out that my body can't do that. But something to think about is we're different by design. Now, you can go, oh yeah, male and female, we're different by design, although in today's world, really? You know, they don't believe biology. You know, they can think whatever they want. Well, today I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Somebody was made a comment that they've identified 100 and some genders that you can come up with. I'm like, oh, really? That's not what my Bible tells me. Do you know that in Oregon now, if you can actually, on your driver's license, get male, female, or X? What's interesting is if somebody decides to put X on there, they'll never get to use it to buy a firearm anywhere. Because on the federal form says male and female. Yeah, a lot. I mean, more and more. So, you know, it's like, okay, we will be different. We will claim that there are only two sexes, male and female. There's only one type of marriage. Man and woman, as it says in Scripture. So, along with that, we'll see how much of a discussion this. How does the Christian's worldview differ from that of the unsaved person? Let's see how lively we get. Maybe I get the other microphone out here and play man in the audience. But no, really, what's, you know, how does the Christian's worldview differ from an unsaved person? Pastor?
Well, hopefully our worldview comes from the Bible.
Yes, our worldview does come from the Bible. It's, and especially our King James Bible that says, gives us guidance for all of our practice in everything that we do. You know, you can, I don't care where you are, if you're aligning with the Bible, you're not going to be wrong. Now, what's the world think about that? What's an unsaved person think about that? Most of them are thinking on, well, I get what I get the most I can get from whatever I'm doing. You know, nothing wrong with getting, achieving, even as a Christian. You know, God gives some businessmen, Christian businessmen, very good knowledge. Same with statesmen. Same, you know, anything that a Christian endeavors to do, he can do it as long as he's got the right focus. So our worldview should be through Scripture. You know, as God puts on the Jesus glasses and sees us righteous, we need to put on the Bible glasses and look at the world through that. Compare the world through it. So, you know, an unsaved person, you know, they're going to, like I say, try to get ahead by any means possible. A Christian's going to look at the Bible and say, can I get ahead this way? You know, following Scripture, being ethical, being moral, thinking on those kinds of things. You know, how does a Christian's lifestyle differ from that of an unsaved person? Well, especially this time of the year, the world's, yeah, you know, the hotter it gets, the less people wear. That can, and that's dangerous from that aspect, you know. People, as a Christian, we think differently about what's our appearance. Not that, you know, everybody should run around in a suit and, you know, dress all the time, you know, but be appropriate. You know, that decent and in order, that comes to mind. You know, the lifestyle. Is it wrong to have a party at your house as a Christian? No, but what you have at that party, and because a lot of people have dinner parties and invite unsaved friends over and have a good time, probably won't be opening certain types of bottles of beverages. But then again, that's a personal choice also. No, nobody's going to condemn somebody for it unless obviously that becomes influential on how they act and what they do. Where Christians go. You know, I know some Christians, they will not go to any establishment that has any kind of a liquor license. And that just about not lets you go to any restaurant around this town. But others that have made a decision goes, I can go there, Christian Liberty, but I know what I'm going to do there. Now, of course, I'm not going to go to places like the Peacock or the Fox and Firkin, even though they probably got really good food, never been there. Now, as a youngster, I grew up around the Peacock, and everybody went down there because they played billiards down there. But the entertainment is not entertainment that I would invite anybody to. The atmosphere is nothing that I would invite anybody to. You know, it's like, okay, would I go in there with Christ? You know, if you wouldn't take Christ there, don't bother to go there. You know, that's the thing that I guess for me and growing up with that was, is that where I would want people to see me coming out of. You know, I had a friend of mine that might have said, told you a long time ago, he liked to go on motorcycle rallies, and they had what was called a poker run. You go out there and you go to various places and you get a card, and when you get done, whoever had the best hand won the grand prize. Well, a lot of these places were bars, taverns, a lot of restaurants, a lot of other places. And he was coming out of one that was a bar that was known for its unsavory activities. But it was during the middle of the day. He figured, I'll stop there. Well, coming out here, some ladies drove by in a car, you know, railing on these people for coming out of there. Well, it turns out he's an insurance salesman, and he actually sold what's called Guide One Insurance that a lot of churches use. Well, he thought about coming out of there and going, if I'm going to be part of this rally, maybe I should have somebody else pick it up for me. But he came out, and he visited a church in that town and was presenting a quote for that church. Well, here walked in this person that was railing on him a little earlier. He recognized her. She kind of recognized him, and they had a little kind of, both sides felt guilty over what they had just done. You know, how you don't judge what somebody's doing. You can think it, but judging it. They had a nice little conversation about that. And so it was very interesting. But the lifestyle differences, clothing, activities, where we go, what we do, you know, as Christians can be the same as the world, but we don't let it dictate it. I'd love to go to the drag races today up at Woodburn. But guess what? They tend to do that. A lot of activities pull people away from God's, you know, if you're a Christian. And a lot of people, you know, if they have to work on this day, well, you know, they work there. It's a job. Now, if it's a job, it's, you know, you're producing some sort of something that's not good for Christians to partake in, I might think about getting a different job. But then again, some people are not so picky about that. But if you have to work, you have to work. So, you know, it's lifestyle. Are these differences due to personal preference or divine design? Exactly, by divine design. But as we let the Lord work within us, it then becomes personal preference. You know, it's, you know, I mean, because we choose, you know, you're not forced to. Well, now that you're a Christian, you can't do this anymore. No, you just don't want to do it. Because in Christ, well, I mean, you can say, well, we're free to do whatever we want to do. And but it's like, okay, is it a good testimony? Does it look appropriate? What are people going to think about that? You know, there are some people who go around, well, you know, what are they going to think? I'm going to dress just the right way. I'm going to have the right size Bible under my arm. I'm going to be seen coming from church, or I'm going to be seen doing this sort of thing. No, we're not going to get in on somebody who's coming in here in t-shirts and jeans, or you know, or a suit that doesn't quite fit right, and you know, maybe got some, you know, worn elbows or whatever. No, we're not going to condemn that person, and we shouldn't think anything different, because where's our heart really as a Christian? Where's our heart? It's going to be with the Lord's people, doing the Lord's work. You know, it's summertime, a perfect example. Church attendance drops off. Summertime, some churches don't have evening service. Summertime, some churches don't have Sunday school. Summertime, some churches don't have Wednesday night services. And we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about this kind of stuff later on. But so, what should we as Christians think about all that? We just witnessed a little bit more, but are we tolerant of a lot of those things? What things do we as Christians tolerate and dare to be different? Sometimes we might have to voice our opinion, but then there are other times when we just go, Lord, give me the right words to say, or close my mouth. What's the word in ASL? Is that the word? Yeah. Yeah. You know, but
or both.
Biting our tongue sometimes. Because sometimes as Christians, you know, maybe somebody that is professing and you see them doing something, you know, what do we do? Do we go up and, no, what are you doing here? I mean, if they're a really good friend, you might.
That's how I know.
Yeah, do you know them? But, you know, that, so are we as Christians tolerant to some things and intolerant to other things? You know, as people, we should be very tolerant of them. But as far as the sin goes, we should be very intolerant. That's what it goes to. But oftentimes we need to weigh that. As a Christian, we need to weigh, are we going to create a rift? Are we going to just, that person going to run as far away from us as they can? Because sometimes saying something might force them away. Sometimes saying nothing, oh, well, that's okay. They can do whatever they want to do. Lynn.
I believe Christians have been far too tolerant over the last 5 decades. And that's partially why we are where we are now.
Sure, sure. And in a lot of ways, we're more tolerant, or we haven't, not even tolerant, we've been felt like we're forced to be quiet. And we're going to get into that, and I'm hoping that as we look through this lesson, Pastor, we might be here for a year. Especially with verse 14 here. I mean, really, when you think about that, because it's an approach for each individual person. Because we all know somebody that we fit in with verse 14. We know of somebody that, in one way or another, we could be classified as unequally yoked. And we'll talk about that. And I think that's a very important thing, because as Christians, oftentimes we're judged in that way. And that's really very sad when you think about how Christians are judged today. We're told to be tolerant. But yet, who can persecute us? The world's allowed to persecute us, but we're not allowed to say a word. You know, we are intolerant if we bring up a sin, not about the person or the people. It's the sin. We're intolerant to that. And that's what's pointed out far too many times as Christians. But we need to be ready to give an answer to that, one that will get them to listen. They mean, they've already made up their mind. Christians are so intolerant. They won't. Yeah, they're so narrow-minded. They believe in there's only one way. Well, guess what? There is only one way. And be able to say that in a loving way. And that's what's good. So, what intolerance of Christians have you observed recently? Nobody wants to answer? No intolerance? I mean, Brother Larry?
Disabled, I mean,
Mm. And still yet, that guy should have doing something on Saturday afternoon and not taking time with that son. And
yeah.
And I said, yeah, I have a son that was born with a lot of problems too, and he's now 60 years old, and he lives in a group living house where they, and you know, and I said, wow. I mean, this is really a good experience for me to be able.
Right. And some.
And this is what I want to do, which I've said before, and what the Lord wants me to be brave, and just every chance to get this thing, you know, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And I think we should be that way. Yeah. More? Did you have something else, Larry?
No.
Oh, okay. But, you know, so oftentimes, though, when we do ask somebody if they know Christ, or if there was a time in their life that they knew that they needed to accept Christ as their Savior, or ask them if they'd gone to church. Some people will, well, that's private. And they just leave it there, don't want to hear anymore. And they've shut themselves off. Oftentimes, you know, because we ask that, we've been classified intolerant. You know, it's the, well, there's a lot of ways to get to God. Well, there's only two ways. One way, through salvation, the other is you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. That's the only two ways you're going to get to see God. And the second one, you only see him that one time, and then for an eternity you're away. But we seem to be intolerant because of that. Christianity is the only, I don't want to call it a religion, it's the only way of life that we can say that it's been done for us. Everybody else keeps doing. You ask a Muslim what it takes to get to heaven. Well, you know, we can't know that for sure. A Catholic, well, we do this, and this, do. Any others, you know, a Buddhist, or, you know, some of them believe that, you know, it's all cyclic, you know, what goes around, you know, karma and all this all stuff. No, there is only one way, and it tells us that. And so, people call us narrow-minded. They say that, you know, you won't accept anything else. Well, no, there's nothing else to accept except the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Once we accept him, and we've taught that, and we've had lessons on that, we grow more and more and more. That's the beauty about being a Christian, is we do grow. We don't just, you know, go in and get our little wafer and whatever liquid they use for their, you know, washing down that wafer with, and think that we're going to go on and be good, or we drop a certain amount of money in there, or we do certain little steps, you know, make pilgrimages and things like that. We're called intolerant because of that. The world is actually intolerant of us because they're afraid. They know what's right. It's in their heart. They know what's right. They know that they'll stand before God without excuse, as Romans tells us. So what do you think is the biggest difference between genuine Christianity and religious liberalism? And we're going to touch more on that.
Grace.
Amen. That was it, God's riches at Christ's expense?
Yes.
You know, it's, you can come up with all sorts of analogies of what grace really is on an earthly level, but we're getting what we don't deserve. We deserve to be on the cross just like Christ was. We should die for our sins. Thankfully, he did that for us. And then after that, this, you know, just that alone, you know, people would be rejoicing. And then he, because he paid that debt, and then after that, he starts showing us the wonderful things that he has for us and what we need to do to serve him. You know, it's like one guy put it one time of going to court, and a judge comes in, or you stand before the judge, and goes, well, you're guilty of this. He says, I'm going to pay your debt for you. You don't have to pay the fine. You don't have to go to jail or anything for that. He says, it's all taken care of. And as you get ready to, you know, turn around, he goes, oh, by the way, I also want to take you out to lunch. And I'm going to take you to the fanciest restaurant in town. And I'm going to buy you the best meal that you can have. And he says, it's all on me. You know, a very simple approach to it. But That kind of explains grace. Well, we don't, you know, he already paid the bill for me. He already paid that debt. And now he's going to do this? Or even, no, you're going to come live with me the rest of your life. I'll take care of you. That would be even more so. Things that we don't deserve. Okay, next question. How would you characterize Jesus' words, "No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me"? John 14:6. Is it exclusive or inclusive?
Very exclusive.
Very inclusive. You know, that word "all," you know, what do you say in John 3:16? You know, that word "all," and it bothers some people, though. Well, you know, I know he did that, but there's got to be something I can do. Well, there is that one thing we can do, is just accept. Yeah, that's all we can do. You can't clean the fish before you catch them. You can't eat the fish before you catch them and clean them. Although some people just, you know, catch the fish and just throw them in the pot. So, if you've never ever eaten overseas, you'll understand that. Some places you don't dare look what's cooking in the pot. You don't ask where it came from. But no, you know, but that's the thing, is we need to realize that it is inclusive. We do become, it does become exclusive as far as God's concerned, that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not get into heaven. It's one of those things that we talk about as one of the three things God cannot do. An unsaved person cannot get into heaven. So heaven is exclusive, but salvation is inclusive. And it's one thing that we need to realize, and that's the beautiful thing that we get to share with the world. You know, we're left here in order to share that gospel and to be able to tell others about that. You know, Brother Larry's made it a purpose now that as he rides the bus and he meets with people, he's going to share the gospel. And, you know, I hope I get caught with that, you know. Maybe he's our little spark that we need for some of us. But I think each one of us is going to be a spark to one another. You know, we want to use it here in the fire season. But in reality, what happens is each one of us, in our own individual way, is able to share the gospel. And in the way that we understand it, we think of the deaf people and how they can share it. We think of people that I've met. Brother Larry talked about, you know, not being able to speak or to reason real well. But a young man, when we lived in Stockton, California, he was couldn't speak. All he could do was hold his Bible open and point to John 3:16. He stood on the street corner that every day, and people just were amazed at him. They had a news article about him when we were down there, about a young man, you know, I think he was in his early 20s, but he stood there, and the Lord looked out for him because nobody taunted him or teased him about what he was doing. They just marveled at the fact that there he was every day and would open his Bible and show them that. And so, you know, this calls us into a willingness to be different from evil associations and from an evil lifestyle at the risk of being labeled intolerant. And as we go through this rest of this lesson, I hope it kind of sparks us to understand that even though we're called intolerant, that we really are tolerant and be able to have that ammunition. This, you know, you can just lovingly look at somebody and goes, "How do you call us intolerant?" And just ask them to name that and then have an answer for that. You know, kind of turn the tables around a little bit. And that's what I've told myself, that that's how I'm going to approach things in my personal life or when I'm communicating with somebody. Because a lot of people have asked me about, why are you different? And I've been able to share that with them. Fortunately, they've been graceful enough not to say, "You're pretty narrow-minded and intolerant." I've only had a couple people say that, of course. I smile at them and ask them why they thought that. And thankfully, the Lord gave me the wisdom and the right way to address it. And I'm like, well, maybe I should rethink that a little bit. You know, I think the time Pastor and I went out and knocked the door, and this one person started to present the gospel, and her boyfriend or whatever came from around and about broke through the screen and just filled the air with lots of four-letter words that are blanked out. And all we could do is look at him and say, I guess you don't want to hear anymore about, you know, but we didn't get upset. You know, it's kind of a shock. But as Christians, it's going to happen. But it's how we react to it. It's how we, as Christians, don't want to live that worldly lifestyle and still be able to show the lost world Christ in a way that doesn't seem intolerant. They're going to, you know, and using the inclusive and exclusive, that'd be a pretty good way to look at it. But that's something that we need to think about. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 talks about us being peculiar. And that's what we really are. And to the world, Christians are peculiar. Not because we're, well, some of us will call us peculiar because guess what we're doing Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings. We go out and knock on doors. Pastor's been complimented by the man that we get our tracks through, that we're consistent doing. Others have mentioned on visitation that they are impressed that there are still churches that are doing that. Fewer and fewer are doing that. Fewer and fewer are not willing to share the gospel. They're not willing to give an invitation. They're willing to water things down. They want to entertain people. Some churches won't even open the Bible. They'll be philosophical. And hey, a lot of us can do that very easily. But we want to see what's in the Word and how to apply it to our lives that we'll be victorious as we walk on this earth. And that's the important thing. And that's why I think the Apostle Paul is challenging the Corinthians here, because so many of them started looking back at the world. And that's the danger. It's sad that those look back at the world don't get the reaction that Lot's wife got. You know, turn them to stone. But thankfully, the Lord is gracious enough to allow us to walk through this earth. So let's pray. Father, we thank you again. We thank you, Father, that oftentimes the truths that we read in your word are difficult for us to completely understand. But when we allow you to guide and direct our steps, Father, the words seem right. The words go forth. The scripture that we thought we didn't understand, we actually present very clearly when we let you guide us and direct us through this walk on this earth. Father, I thank you for each one that perseveres as we walk on this earth, that we stand upright, that we're willing to stand up when we're accused of being intolerant and not create an argument, but lovingly show that we are not intolerant and that our God is not intolerant, and to realize that they're not accusing us, they're accusing you, and you tell us that. And Father, I thank you when you give us that extra amount of grace, that extra amount of understanding of your word when confronted in this way. And I pray that as we continue through these lessons, that we will get more information, more tools to put in our toolbox and to use, for the world will use every avenue to stop us from bringing forth the gospel into the world. And Father, we thank you for this and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.